Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a podcast about season 10, episode 10 of NYPD Blue, Healthy McDowell Movement. And it's important to let you know ahead of time, this is a commentary-ish episode. We're watching the episode as we're recording, so I recommend that you watch the episode before listening to this or try to watch it at the same time. I will be honest, it's kind of a rough podcast. We had some technical difficulties, there was a dog in the room, but we tried our absolute best. When it comes to watching NYPD Blue, I believe when it comes to the United States side, easiest thing would be to get the DVDs. And even then, it's not as easy as I'd hope it would be. I know that some episodes are available on YouTube if you just search the title, but there's always the less than legal means of finding it online, and I would never suggest you do that. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the episode. I'll be back to talk to you when the podcast is over. But until then, here's that podcast. Hello. Welcome to season 10, episode 10, Healthy McDowell Movement.
Boom.
We have ourselves a previously on NYPD Blue. We find out John Jr.'s dad, John Sr., dropped the dime on cops banging a 17-year-old.
That seems horribly acted, right?
Yeah, it's really bad.
Okay, cool. I'm talking about Theo.
Theo is upset that Connie and Sivwitz want to move in together. And Lieutenant is back with his ex-wife, but he thinks she might get back into drugs. Now, this scene, it's interesting for a couple of reasons. One, we find out that John is moving into Sipowitz's old place, which he is going to sublet to John.
Which is a smart move.
And he's telling John, hey, so I'm not changing my address in the department so it doesn't possibly come out that we're living together, because that would be against the rules. And John's like,
do you think that's as bad as sleeping with a 17-year-old?
You know, Kyle, it depends.
Here's what we
know for sure, without a doubt. Telling IAB that they're doing it is way worse than doing them.
Because I was thinking about it. Wasn't there a time when Bobby was around and they were doing something with IAB, but they needed IAB to like do more, like go farther or go after a certain somebody, but they didn't want to be rats, so they found a way for it to happen anyways without them looking bad. Like, that's what I was trying to say. That sounds horrible. Like, I have no, like...
Specifics
or backup information. But, I just keep going back to the thing of, like, we made them the villains.
Basically, yeah.
We made them bad people because they're just like, hey, like you said last episode so many times, everyone's mad at us because they think we ratted, mm-hmm. and we're not rats. And it's like, no, the bigger issue is like, you're letting them get away with something horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah. Sipowitz's house, who gives a shit? It's not like we spend a lot of time there.
Well, I wanted to say one thing about it, but first, this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue, and this is the credits that we're talking over right now. It's a commentary episode, sort of. I hope it's not too over the place.
But sorry, just real quick for everybody.
How much did it cost for the Micro Machines guy?
Jesus Christ. I did want to mention, because you said, okay, Sipowitz is moving out of his house. It is kind of momentous, because that wasn't his place. That was Sylvia's place that he moved into.
Oh, good call.
And
you're right. Sylvia owned that place.
And then also, to be honest, a very weird moment is he says to John, yeah, a lot of good memories here. Really? A lot of bad memories, like getting over Bobby dying and your wife dying and finding out that
your son might have bone cancer.
Finding out that your other partner died.
Yeah. Finding out that you might have prostate cancer.
In theory, you're moving into an apartment that has, just on average, a lot more good times because it didn't have as many bad times.
Yeah, until he shows up.
So this case, we talk about the show like losing its luster. This case, I think, is really stupid. This guy's son keeps vandalizing this guy's place. His son, Michael, originally named Michael, but he changed it. And he's busking on the street, and he's a little bit mentally challenged. Sipowicz, now, if you remember, Kyle, if you remember, because I know that you're making these motions, no one can see them because it's a podcast. But hey, since you're going to keep doing them and not listen to what I'm saying.
This Mike Hell story is what, like.
Do you even remember what it is?
I know which one it is. Keep going.
But there is a moment where Connie mentions, like, hey, so the moving guys and this and that, and we're going to find a place for your fish tank. And Sipowicz is back to anxiety Sipowicz. He's been the dude for like three episodes before this, but now we're back to anxiety Sipowicz because he's moving into a new place. And Connie's the one saying everything.
But he suggested it.
And Connie is like, everything will be fine, even though she has a new baby and two people are moving into her place.
But he's not being forced into it either.
It's like switcheroo, and it's so weird.
Yeah, and he's not being forced into it either. He wanted to move in. She didn't ask for it.
And
dude can't find his wife. Ex-wife.
Dude can't find his ex-wife, and Sipowicz is upset because John Jr. is being tight-lipped, not telling him what's going on, being weird. And Sipowicz ain't going to have it because he's moving into what's-her-name's place. And
apartment that he's got a few fond memories in.
And a few really bad ones. Also, if you read the book, someone broke into that place and tried to kill him and Sylvia.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of bad shit has happened. But this...
So it's been a week and he hasn't told him anything.
Also, this turning around and, like, I need to collect my thoughts, terrible.
Yeah.
Not good.
It is so bright in Sipowicz's face. It's wild.
Well, yeah, you can see that mirror. Not that mirror. That open window that shines right into his face.
Oh, good call. Good call.
Kind of. He's also... But yeah, it's just such a bummer, this scene, because it's like, huh, Sipowicz, my dad told IAB because I told him. And Sipowicz is like, huh, that must be weighing on you. Not the fact that we covered up several of our coworkers having sex with a 17-year-old, but you know what's going to be funny, Kyle? They don't listen to our show anyway, not anymore. But the guys that used to listen to our show because they love cops, and then they found out that we weren't exactly the same, feeling the same way. Hopefully a couple of them listen to this and be like, God, they won't get over the fact that these guys had sex with a 17-year-old. They just won't let it go. Other case, a DOA was beaten about the head until she died, and there's a burnt up videotape in her fireplace. And the person that found her is a friend that came over to go have, I think, breakfast? But, yeah, just a friend.
Shopping and lunch.
Well, shopping and lunch.
We're going to go shopping and then lunch.
So brunch.
No. If they're going to eat at, like, go shopping and then eat at, like, 12.
So shapunch.
You should shapunch your mouth.
The implication was that if you get enough women together and they're going for a meal, there's going to be some shopping too.
Why? All women shop?
It's a joke, Kyle.
Not a funny one.
You're
sexist. You're a sexist pig.
So the whole point is they think they'll be able to salvage some of the videotape because it wasn't completely burned.
Completely burned up.
Here's Michael playing some guitar in front of a cafe. I thought I recognized this dude, and I didn't.
No, me too. I thought he was like a character actor and like stuff.
Well, I think he was a child actor in some shit that was fairly big, which I think is why I kind of recognized his face. But when I saw the IMDb, I was like, I don't think I was really into this.
Do you think he's wearing a tea party?
Do I think he's...
Do you think he was like one of the originators of the...
The alt-right Tea Party?
Movement? Got out of jail, started taking some meds?
He got out of jail, started taking some meds, and was like, you know what? I think Obama wasn't born in this country. That guy? You think that's what happened? Fuck you in your vest or sweater. That guy.
That's a sweater.
That guy is fucking face. So she's looking a little rough.
Do we think she's loaded?
I think she looks like I do after a really good nap. But, you know, I also wouldn't nap that hard at that time. But it is funny how she's trying to bullshit him like he wouldn't know.
Because they've already gone through this together.
And he was in narcotics. Yeah. And he knows her specifically. He's like, he knows exactly what's going on. And she's like, oh, I'm just embarrassed and I'm so ashamed. And he's like, in all honesty, he should just be like, okay, peace.
Yeah.
But instead he's like, well, shucks. He gives her way too many chances. I'm going to be honest. It sounds cold, but...
She set it up for that. She came in immediately and, like, started just, like, blowing him.
You second guess cutting somebody off if they blew you in the observation room?
Well, no, like, she just came in right away and just, like, flooded him with, like, sex, blowjobs, this, that. And, it's making him clouding his judgment, because really he should have just been like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
He should have been.
Jump Street.
Yeah, he should have been out Tatum, so fast. I mean? He should have been out from Channing Tatum.
From Jump Street. From Jonah Hill.
From Tanning Tatum.
From Chugging Tatum.
So this brings up a question about this show and shows from this time. Like, the ethics...
Ethics.
The ethics and the weirdness of people who are neurotypical or that don't have any mental disabilities playing somebody with disabilities and how weird that fucking is and off.
What, are you saying he's not doing a good job?
I don't think he's doing a good job. I also don't think he has mental disabilities.
Well, I just did some research.
Oh, did you?
And you'd be right. He doesn't. He's just a normal dude like you and I.
Oh, could you do some research on listening when I say you can't move the cord on the microphone because it'll make loud noises? And that's why I gave you the stand. And... You remember that research? Are you just not going to talk now? Because so the whole case is just that he's vandalizing that dude's place, which ends up in like, so he's not going to press charges, so who cares? The boss gets pissed off at John because he mentions that a rehab center's on the phone, and he's like, don't tell my business. And it's like, well, nobody knows that it's for your fucking ex-wife. I didn't go, hey, boss, the rehab you're signing your ex-wife up to because she's a cokehead called. So you're done? You're just done.
Why would you have him call your office if that's
the problem?
Exactly.
And Sipowicz is like, apparently my couch won't fit through your door. They got to take the door jam off.
She got down to 50, like, just kind of chill on it. You know what I mean?
So,
Women just getting things done. You know what I'm saying?
And remember, she was the one freaking out about the baby, and now she's totally cool about this move.
Yeah.
So, this guy.
Character actor.
He's been in some shit, and I couldn't put my finger on any of it specifically. I believe he's Stephen Gibbern.
That's his name, or is that his character name? Or, like, what are we talking about here?
That is not him. I think it's Gregory Itzen is him.
Okay.
Yeah. This guy, I believe, is Gregory Itzen. I feel like this dude, he's one of those faces where you're like, yeah, I've seen him in some shit, man. But right now he's playing a adoptive father of this woman who died. And they're saying she's just, you know, a little bit rambunctious.
It's a lost soul.
She's, you know, she doesn't know how to function appropriately. The mom has, like, anxiety disorders. The dad, it's clearly people that, this is how they portray people who are going to therapy in the early 2000s. Like, they can't handle situations. She's having an anxiety attack. He can't talk about his daughter right now because they've overwhelmed him. And it's like, one, that's offensive. Two, when you find out more about these two, you're like, that's really offensive that these are the people that are in therapy, because it makes it seem like anybody who is choosing to better their mental health has real fucking problems. Like,
nah, some of them are just bitches.
Criminal problems. Jesus Christ. Seek mental help if you feel like you need it.
Yeah, and then sometimes just stop being a bitch.
Mikhail's
co-sign
dad.
Co-sign it. Kirk Asher co-signs that statement.
No, I don't. But Mikhail's dad comes back in and he was beat up by him.
Yeah, because he's a rat. What have we learned so far for 3 episodes? We don't like rats.
No,
he's a rat. He ratted out his son. He said where you can go get him. He's a rat. So he beat him up. He said, you're a rat, dad. Ha! Kicked him in the face.
He's a rat, dad. Like Ratatouille's dad. He's a rat, dad.
Ratatouille didn't have a dad.
Yeah, he did.
That was the whole point of Ratatouille. That's why he was hanging out on that guy's head. He didn't have a family.
I don't think that's even close to
have
true.
Have you seen Ratatouille?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't.
This is one of the strangest arguments we've ever had. Okay, I haven't.
There's about to be one right now.
Here comes Martin's 2-spoon, fill some more shit into his mouth. This time they bring him in to be like, so how do we get Clark's dad out from under this? Because that's fucked up, man. And he's like, what do you mean? What? I didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Fraker did that, and also
I like that. He's like, no one's gun was pointed at anybody, because they're trying to make it seem like his dad is like being screwed, but his dad went and gave them all that information.
His dad also basically was in the room with Fraker, and he's like, we're gonna take your pension, we're gonna tell everybody you're a rat, you're a piece of shit. And he's like, fine, I'll give you something. And then he finally gave him something. He didn't give him anything until now.
For a while, yeah.
So it's like. But keep in mind, this is Martens, who also gave Sipowicz that Fraker was banging some, like, secretary.
Yeah, or assistant, or whatever, yeah.
And now he's giving him, like, yeah, Fraker's full of shit. He's not going to do anything. Just tell your dad to retire.
That's not true.
And then he's like, yeah, he didn't do anything. Didn't do anything bad his whole career. Sure.
Except banging a prostitute.
He was having sex with a sex worker all the time, but... Yeah, he never did anything wrong.
Never did anything wrong. And then ratted on a bunch of people.
And then, like, Martens basically turns into, like, their errand boy for IAB, which is ridiculous. He used to have some, like, fucking respect.
Yeah.
Now it's just... Now he's like, you go to Fraker and you tell him that I'll fucking rat his ass out for banging his secretary. And then... John Jr. on the other side of the door is like, hey, man, could you do something for Laughlin? Because we really fucked him over, kind of. And it's like, fuck Laughlin. Like, fuck Laughlin.
Well, no, no.
Fuck Shannon.
Well, that's what, well, I don't think they should do anything for Laughlin. They should just, everyone else should get fucked over.
He's saying, well, we made a promise to Laughlin that if he retired, we wouldn't let it out. And then it got let out. And I feel like Martens should be like, it's out. What does it fucking matter?
Why does it fucking matter where it comes from? He's only misplacing his hate because he can't figure out that Laughlin doesn't realize that he's in trouble no matter what. It's not because of John and Andy. Like,
it's almost like, well, look, he's not a cop anymore, which is what we wanted to punish him with. We didn't want him to get in trouble for having sex with children. And it's like, what? Anyway. Also, I thought this woman looked like bargain bin Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, I don't see that.
What do you see?
I just see, I don't know her name, but that's what I see in front of me.
I don't know. I just feel like it was...
I don't think she looks anything like Anne Hathaway.
I don't know. I disagree. Also, I thought I recognized her from something, and I did not.
That should be your theme. I feel like all five...
Huh?
Sorry.
I feel like all five...
I feel like all five of these last episodes, you've been like... That person looked like somebody, but it's not.
I thought
that person was a famous face, and it's not.
This episode should have been called Doctor-Patient Confidentiality, because that's what every psychologist or therapist claims. And she just gives up that the DOA was having sex with an older man who was clearly manipulating her. And bails. Now, this scene, John Jr. just shows up to his dad's work and says, hey, retire today, you'll be fine. And it feels like his dad is like...
Which, how is his dad still... Like, it's weird that his dad's still working, right? Like, with everything that's going on?
You mean like working today or working period?
Like, period. It's weird that he's still a detective. With everything that's going on. Like, you feel like he would have left by now.
Well, that's what John Jr.'s telling him to do. It is interesting that essentially John Jr. walks in and says, hey, you got to retire today and everything will be fine. And he's like, well, I got to think about it. He's like, Dad, you got to retire today. Like, he just talks over him. He's like, you're doing it today. You're retiring today. And tell everybody you're doing it because this is going to get you out of it. And, like, the dad's like, well, I want to work. So he's like, I don't care. Like, it's very much the dad's, like, not doesn't want to accept what other people say he's got to do, even though he's fucked regardless. This scene felt, like, incredibly useless.
Yeah, I don't, like... You can tell she's serious. She's not wearing any makeup.
That's how you know she's serious?
Yeah. That's how you know she's serious.
So, I've watched a lot of Intervention, as you know. You made a comment about it last time we talked about Intervention. So, a big tell... to hint at the future of what's happening. She's given a lot of promises. She's given a lot of, I'm ready. I've never wanted to be sober more in my life. I made a mistake. I know that. I have a lot to prove to you. And then he says, okay, it is located here, and they expect you at this time. I'll pick you up at this time. And she says, you've already done enough. And he says, no, I'm going to pick you up at this time. And it's important because that's her trying to get out of it by saying, you don't have to take me there. Because why wouldn't you be like, okay, sure. Unless you're trying to not go.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
that was the moment I realized, like, she ain't gonna fucking be there when he goes to pick her up, because she's trying to get out of it right now. They get two images off of the videotape, and one of them is her having sex with an older man. And they identify the older man and are going to bring him in. But on this Michael case, they talk to this woman who volunteers and supposedly knew Michael personally. And she claims that she's known him since middle school before he, quote unquote, you know, used to act normal, according to John Jr., which is a little offensive.
A little bit. Just a tad.
Just a tad bit offensive. And then he, they find out that he accompanied her to the funeral of her grandmother, and then he said she can't breathe and broke some plates and then bailed. So, one, I don't want to be rude. Why would she think about inviting Michael to a funeral?
Because it's her friend.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like, why would you invite him to a funeral? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Because he's her friend. Maybe he knew whoever was dead.
I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
Before he had his, like, law. Mental loss or left or whatever. Maybe he knew whoever passed.
So.
She was like, this will work. I didn't move anything.
Hello? Talking to it?
Yeah. Hello.
Nah, it's not working at all anymore. Try talking into it again.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Nah, it's working. Anyway, they bring this dude back, the woman's adoptive father, and guess what, Kyle? Shocker. He was having sex with his adoptive daughter.
A little Woody Allen?
And he says that she manipulated him and she knew that he was a sex addict.
Again, she acted older than she was.
It's
she knew what she was doing.
It's shocking to me. It's like shocking to me how many episodes in a row of this show are men not taking responsibility for things they have done to.
But why would they, again, why would they have to?
Like women or girls, underage women, and women.
Why would they have to?
In abusive situations. So Michael abused his dad, not abused his dad, vandalized his dad's place again. And they're trying to figure out what's up with this kid. And he keeps saying she can't breathe. And they even ask the dad, what the hell is he talking about? And the dad's like, I don't know what he's talking about. Who can't breathe?
How does he not know? How does he not know?
Well, he doesn't know because he doesn't think his son saw.
But it never dawns on him once?
Like, no, that's the shocking thing.
Like maybe it's the time that I suffocated his mother. Spoiler alert.
Also, this is a that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
Henry Winkler.
Stephen Gibbern.
Close. Are you gonna ask a tiger not to be a tiger, Kirk? Is that what you do in life? Hey, Echo, don't be a dog. This is as much your fault as it is mine.
Oh, that's not even close to true. That's not even close to the truth. Anyway, this This that guy just claims doctor.
We did it, everybody. We did it, ladies and gentlemen.
Patient doctor confidentiality shit. And they said,
everyone at Mission Control, we did it. We got Kirk to get pissed off. We did it. We did it.
So he says, yeah, we got doctor patient confidentiality. And they say, well, what is doing? How is this protecting him or the woman that he may have murdered? And he says, are you going to pay for my fucking lawsuit? Because he'll then sue me. And that is a good point. Like,
100% a good point.
It sucks, but go get a court order. If I do it without it, then he's gonna fucking sue me. And no
money talks, bullshit walks.
And no offense, that guy seems like a dude that could afford a lawyer to do something like that.
That guy, yeah. He was coming off very rich and like wealthy and shit.
So because they bring in this therapist and he happens to be walking by Sipowicz at this moment, Sipowicz is like, well, let me guilt this guy into helping out with our case, because he's not doing anything for theirs. And the scene where he talks to Michael, which is after this scene, I don't like it, Kyle.
Why not?
I don't like it.
Your psychology brain doesn't like it?
I don't like it because it implies that it's just that easy to figure out what's going on. Also, Sipowicz is like, we think he witnessed a murder, but we can't get through the muck in his head. And then they bring in this guy who's an expert in theory. And then the guy says to do something, and they're like, that's not going to work. He's like, then why'd you ask him in? What's the point of asking him to help? And then when he makes a suggestion, shitting on it.
You're not wrong.
Like, what's the point? But I don't like that he just cracks it. He cracks it in not even a full session. He cracks it in under 3 minutes. He basically speed runs this guy with schizophrenia.
Through years of therapy.
3 years of trauma.
Trauma and therapy. He speed runs right through it.
He goes, hey, it's almost like
that's because, like, hey, no offense, he's good at his job and you're not.
Well, I don't do
he's
this.
A good psychologist, you're not. That's just what that's. You're just jelly.
He's implying that he's
remember
like
that raspberry jam you were fucking earlier? That's you.
He's implying that he's like the Michael Jordan of this shit. And he's like,
he just showed you.
He's like, give me the ball.
That was his flu game.
He's like, give me the ball. Give me the ball, get out of my way. And all he has to say is like, where are you right now? How do you feel? And then he's like, my mom, he killed my mom. Which I could never say until you ask me about it. Like, well, that's basically how it is. But yeah, it's so bad. It's also implying that before he saw that happen, he was a perfectly mentally healthy kid.
What is that?
I don't think so.
Something like that traumatic couldn't cause you to maybe like something flip or like something just kind of like break your whole reality?
I think depending on his age it varies, but I don't think it'd be that fucking bad. Keep in mind, I don't know for sure, but I think that is an extreme change in a person.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Because she knew him since middle school, so let's say that happened to him 8th grade. Like, an 8th grader saw that, and that's what would happen.
What's crazy about this is, like, Sipowicz and John are ready to kill his dad.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they hear the story, they're like, oh.
Well, it's also interesting because he says, at the very beginning of the episode, this character goes, yeah, my wife died of cancer several years ago. So, when they bring...
Several, so, like... What's several? 5 to 7?
Maybe. I don't know. But the point is...
So how old is that motherfucker kid now? You know what I mean?
And my thought also is they go hard at him, but it's like, were you not paying attention? He said she had a terminal disease. You couldn't put it in your head that maybe he put her out of her misery? And yeah, their whole tune changes so fast. Once they hear what he says, because usually say what you want about the show, but usually when there's a sinister backstory to what actually happened, the person plays it like he's actually sinister. Yeah. This guy never did that.
Yeah. I mean, well, the dude, when you,
you also kind of feel bad for the dude because he's now a widow and he's raising a mentally unwell child that you mentioned earlier. He didn't know that he may have caused his mental unwellness.
Yeah.
Or his mental health crisis, whatever he's going through. I don't want to like downplay it, but like he doesn't know any of that. So it's a little bit more sympathetic because he's just like a sad older man by himself. But yeah.
And this scene really. So this woman came in holier than thou about everything. And then
this reminded me of the Boy Meets World dad one. Do you remember that one?
The Boy Meets World
remember the
dad.
The dad from Boy Meets World. He had two wives and he would go like spend a night with one wife and then he would come into the city with another wife and he had like both families separated, but then he started sleeping with like a college grad or a college like, and then the main wife found out and ended up killing a girl. It kind of reminded me of that.
Meets World.
Yeah, remember the Boy Meets World dad? I forgot his name.
Oh, you're saying, okay.
He was a character.
You're saying the actor from Boy Meets World.
I just don't know his name.
Okay, I was sitting here like, that was not an episode of Boy Meets World.
No. The dad from Boy Meets World was in here, and he was like they kept saying he was like a brilliant man, and we didn't know his brilliance and all that shit. And he had a wife in like Connecticut, but then he had a family here. But then his wife in Connecticut found out he also had like another
mistress. Yeah.
And so she killed him. And this gave me that kind of vibes. Like
this. So she basically has been pretending to be a different person this whole episode. And then when they're like, yeah, we caught you, bitch. She goes like, when we got her, she was in rags.
Slut.
She turns around and tricks my husband into having sex with her and then tries to blackmail him.
Again, another episode where the man got tricked into having sex with the wrong person.
Mm. And then this is just, hey, like, it's so funny when they present something to Valerie where they're like, we don't want you to do anything. The attitude of that versus we want you to do something, but you can't. Like this one's like, yeah, we don't want you to prosecute this guy because, you know, it's unfortunate, blah, 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 blah. And then when it's like, you got to fucking nail this guy to the wall. And she's like, you have no fucking evidence.
Yeah, you have nothing.
And he's like, you got to do something about this. But when it's someone that they're like, you should give this guy a break. Like, you know, so he killed his wife like a couple years ago.
It was a mercy killing. You know that thing that we gave Jack Kevorkian a ton of shit for? Yeah, he kind of did that. But like if you could be cool with him, that would be really rad.
You remember when Jack Kevorkian just got so much shit? It's just a funny way to describe.
Helping people decide the way they wanted to like live the rest of the end of their life.
Just giving Kevork so much shit. This scene is also throw it out, where he's going over rules about where he's gonna stay, and the dad comes in and apologizes for what he saw, and because of that, the kid says she's not. She can breathe now. It's dumb.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It seems really dumb.
They just healed him.
No, they didn't.
They healed him. And you're upset about that. Wow. I see where your head's at. You're the reason why we have like so many people out on the streets with mental health issues.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's certainly me.
When you're getting healed, you just want to shit on them.
I'm the one that created the systemic problem.
Echo, who created this systemic problem?
Also, again, this episode is titled Healthy McDowell Movement.
What has McDowell done? Has she done anything yet? Oh, because they're moving.
They're moving into McDowell's place.
That's stupid.
That's stupid. That's
dumb.
I don't disagree with you. That is dumb. It's also like, because we talked about how, like, this, you feel bad for this guy. This guy now has to go home, right?
The dad
now has to go home. His place is vandalized. He found out he's probably the cause of what happened to his
and
son.
His son's not coming home with him.
His son's going to Bellevue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so shit. It's like, this is the worst ending for that guy.
So he was supposed to pick her up or wasn't supposed to pick her up?
Right now, the boss, Rodriguez, is supposed to pick up his ex-wife to take her
but
to
she didn't want to get picked up.
She is just gone.
She didn't want to get picked up, but he said, no, I'm going to come pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at your house. I'm at your apartment. You're not here.
I honestly, like, he should have just gone.
100%, dude. She made her decision.
He should just go. Because what is it? What, okay. Theoretically.
Yeah.
What would be the point of staying there? Because she's going to come through the door either.
Or she's not.
So, she's either not going to come in the door. She's going to come into the door loaded. She's going to come in not loaded, but she went through an emergency or an excuse. But, like, what's the point of staying? Just go. She made her decision. Theo can't find his Game Boy, Kyle.
Can't find his Game Boy.
Also, not to be that guy. We see it later. It's a Game Boy Color. It's not a Game Boy. It's a Game Boy Color.
So what are you saying? You don't like color?
No, I'm saying the kid needs to get it right. Because if he said, I can't find my Game Boy, I'd be looking for a much larger gray object and not the translucent purple object that he actually has, which is a Game Boy Color. Now, I know people will say that's pedantic. And I'll say, oh, well, we name things for a reason. So we know what we're looking for. Yeah, this is where Sipowicz tells a guy, I'm not paying an extra fee because I'm a cop. And he just says, okay, I guess. And he goes into Theo's room, and Theo has now turned into a...
I would, too, if my room had that wallpaper.
You know, I did clock that wallpaper, too, when I first watched it. Like, that kind of looks like shit.
Do we think one of those small little pictures has a racist caricature in it? Do we think?
Like, on the wallpaper.
On the wallpaper. Like, what do we think the odds are?
They're high. They're high. The same thing. I know I talked about it earlier. In Welcome to Derry, there's a black family who moves in, and the son is in a room with this cowboy wallpaper. And I was like, I bet he would like that changed. Like, I bet this kid is also really into science. And he's like, I bet he's like, can we get this fucking cowboy shit out of my room? Like, please.
Yeehaw.
So now Theo is giving him the silent treatment. He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, but, like, he's the kid, dude. Like,
Connie is like, everything will be fine. And she's running around, breaking plates.
Be fine. He's just got time to adjust to it. It's not like he's starting a new school. It was just he went to a new apartment. He's being a little baby about the whole thing, dude.
He's being a baby about the whole thing. The literal child, Theo Sipowicz. So, Healthy McDowell Movement. Not winning any awards in our book. I think that's safe to say.
Maybe a Keurig.
A Katie Keurig?
Yeah. That was a hefty piece of shit.
That is a very specific reference. Okay. There is. It is the button to the right on. Okay. Well, let's finish talking about the episode really quick. It's right there. Oh, my God in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
as in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
So
something about trespassing with triceratopses.
Jesus is that's okay.
Right, that's right. That's right. Jesus didn't believe in dinosaurs.
So yeah, that one's not a good episode. I don't like it very much.
I mean, it's pretty decent.
So definitely, what are you doing?
Shh.
What are you trying
just
to do?
Just keep talking.
No. What are you trying to do with my property right now?
I'm not going
to
tell you.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to tell you. We need to finish the episode.
You need to turn it off because it's about to go back in the fucking bag.
Yeah, that's what I'm figuring out how to do.
Is it?
Yeah, I didn't remember if you held the thing or turned it off.
Interesting. Yeah. But yeah, Healthy McDowell Movement. I think it's appropriately titled. And
yeah, because it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
This
season's bad. 10 through 12 are bad.
And that's where I ended the podcast because we actually got into spoilers about future seasons. Anyways, if you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's how people see the podcast in the algorithm. And more importantly, they might watch the best show ever, NYPD Blue. If you're just needing some more NYPD Blue information, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There's What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles about the show. There's two in-universe stories by Max Allen Collins, Blue Bloods and Blue Beginnings. If you find them for a decent price, snatch them up because they're not decent priced anymore. And then, of course, there's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. That's on Amazon for 99 cents. Thank you so much for listening to this. I hope that it wasn't too bad. I'm going to try some other stuff in terms of our equipment next time. I hope it works out. But we are in, as Kyle said, the worst of the show, seasons 10 through 12. New episodes are every other Tuesday. And until then, be good to yourself and be good to each other.